إن الحمد لله.
Two statements, يعني the seventh, eighth, and ninth statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah رحمه الله, wherein he says, ويدعون إلى مكارم الأخلاق ومحاسن الأعمال. يعني that the أهل السنة والجماعة يدعون إلى مكارم الأخلاق. يعني to noble characteristics or noble traits of character. And محاسن الأعمال, يعني the deeds, the actions that are considered to be beautiful, good deeds. This is the first part of, يعني the topic for tonight, that أهل السنة والجماعة call to, يعني command the people with having noble character and good deeds. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan, حفظه الله, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said, يعني as we mentioned earlier, that these characteristics that are mentioned in this chapter are from those things that are the mukammilat of the aqeedah. They are the things that complete and perfect the aqeedah. So if a person has correct aqeedah, it's not complete and perfect unless they also have noble character and do good deeds. Naam, the Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'a, he said, makarim al-akhlaq, a-tayibuha. Ya'ani, meaning the good, the most pure and the best of character traits. Makarim al-akhlaq. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, ahsanuha. Ya'ani, the best of them, the best of the characteristics, good character, noble traits, the best of them. Makarim al-akhlaq. The Shaykh, he said, al-kareem, الكريم من كل شيء هو الطيب منه بحسب ذلك الشيء. يعني مكارم الأخلاق, he said, the thing that is كريم from everything is the طيب, the good of it, the pure of it, in accordance to whatever that thing is. And it's interesting to note, although probably there may not be any connection between them, يعني here مكارم الأخلاق means the best traits of good character, the best of noble characteristics that a person can have. It's interesting to note that in English, and I think it's from French, they say the cream of the crop. And in Arabic, cream, the word for cream is kareem, yani the same word, kareem. They say kareem, that's how it's said in Arabic. In English they say the cream of the crop means what? The best of it, the best of it. And this is what is intended here. Makarim al-akhlaq, it means the best of character, the best of noble characteristics, the best qualities or characteristics, yani that a person may possess. After this, the Shaykh, he says, yani an example of this, or a shahid, a witness for this, yani that kareem, the word al-kareem is the best or the most pure of anything. He said, from the saying of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, when he said, iyaka wa kara'am amwalihim. إياك وكرائم أموالهم. And beware, be cautioned, be careful from taking the best of their wealth. Yani this was when he had commanded him to collect the zakat from the people of Yemen. So the Prophet ﷺ told Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, when you collect the zakat, don't take the best of their wealth. Yani the best of their cattle or the best of their crops, the best of what they have, don't take the best of it. Leave that and take from yani what is less than that. Don't take the best of what the people have. And so the Shaykh is using this as a yani to support the meaning that kareem means the best of everything. And here we're talking about what? The best of noble characteristics. Shaykh Salih Fawzan said, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah yahtam bil akhlaq. Yani that the people of Sunnah give care to good character, such that they adorn themselves with good character, and they encourage others as well as themselves to have good character. And this is also understood from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, very important supplication, which he taught us to say, Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman. Allahumma zayyinna bi zinatil iman. O Allah, adorn us with the adornments of iman. Yani not with gold and silver and fancy clothing, but with what kind of adornments? the adornment of Iman. So the Shaykh, he says here that the Ahl Sunnah Jama'ah give care to this. This is something of importance to themselves, that they adorn themselves with Al-Akhlaq Al-Fadila. Al-Akhlaq Al-Fadila. Yani Makarim Al-Akhlaq. Noble characteristics. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, Rahimahullah, he says, Al-Akhlaq, this word is the plural of Khuluq. And I don't know how in the book, in the English translation, I think they didn't use the word khuluq, but the singular of akhlaq is khuluq, not khulq or khalq or khilq, is khuluq. And this khuluq, it means as-sura al-batina, yani the inner form of the human being, yani sajaya, as-sajaya, or at-tabai, yani sajiyya, means the natural characteristics of the human being, the natural disposition, the nature of the human being, their natural, yani state, their taba'a, natural disposition. So the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen is saying that al-akhlaq, what are we talking about akhlaq? It means the khuluq, yani as-sura al-batina, the inner form or shape or image of the human being, as opposed to al-khalq, yani khalq with fakka and sukoon, means the surah al-zahira, the outward form or image of the human being. And this is important because these words come from the same root. Khuluq and khalq. Khuluq is the inner form of the human being. And khalq is the outward form. Yani what you see outside the person, their shape, their size, their color, that's the outward form. But what we are talking about here, it's not they are tall or short or thin or heavy or muscular or otherwise. What we're talking about here, we're talking about as-sura al-batina, the inner form of the human being. This is what we're talking about. This is what we mean by character. And unfortunately, sometimes we become obsessed with our outward form, yani with the image that people see, and we forget about the inner human being. And so Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is reminding us here of the importance of what? The inner form of the human being. Naam. The inner form of the human being. So the Shaykh, he says, فَهُمْ يَدْعُونَ إِلَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ الْإِنسَانِ سَرِيرَتَهُ كَرِيمًا. Yani that the inward form of the human being, that's not seen by the people, yani that's not visually seen by the people, that it be noble, that it be upright. So it is obligatory, therefore, to have these, yani, inward characteristics, qualities, yani, such as al-qaram and al-shaja'a and al-tahammul min al-nas wal-sabr, yani, that a person has the quality of generosity and courageousness and bearing patiently, yani, the interaction with the people. Yani the harms, or yani what you suffer at the hands of the people. Yani truthfulness, trustworthiness, patience, kindness. These are qualities that are yani commendable for the people of Sunnah. And that you meet the people with a yani wajh, talq, yani that you have a yani smiling face, or a pleasant yani face when you meet the people, and that you have yani sadr munsharih, yani that a person's chest, that their breast is expanded, it's not tight. Yani when you meet somebody and it looks like you don't really, they don't want to be bothered with you, that they don't want to talk to you, that they can't deal with you, as opposed to you meet a person and they appear to be friendly and kind and open and easy. Okay, so from the characteristics of the people of Sunnah is that they meet the people with a cheerful face, and that they meet the people with an expanded breast, and that a nafs al-mutma'inna, yani a nafs, a soul that is at rest, that is peaceful, that is content. And all of these are from makarim al-akhlaq, from the character, the noble characteristics that the Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah call to. The Shaykh, he said, and after this, mahasin al-amal, yani mahasin al-amal hiya mimma yata'allaq bil-jawari, yani these are those things that are connected to or related to the limbs of the body, meaning the outward actions of the human being. The outward actions. As opposed to the akhlaq, which is the inner يعني actions or qualities or characteristics of the human being. And this محاسن الأعمال يشمل الأعمال التعبدية والأعمال غير تعبدية. يعني so this includes those actions which are acts of worship, pure worship, and those actions which are not acts of pure worship. For example, يعني those actions which are not acts of pure worship, for example, buying and selling and renting and so on. يعني the interactions with other human beings, whether financial interactions or social interactions. يعني your interactions with the other human beings. So, محاسن الأعمال, it includes the actions that are actions of تعبدية, worship, pure worship, and other actions that are not considered to be pure acts of worship, such that in your buying and your selling and your lending and you're dealing with the people in the society, the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah call the people to, in their interactions with the people, whether financial or social interactions, as-sidq wa-nus fil amal kulliha, that the people are yani truthful and that they are sincere in their dealings with the people in all of their actions, not just in the acts of worship. Because mahasan al-amal, often people think of mahasan al-amal, yani al-amal al-salihah, righteous deeds, as being acts of worship, salat and zakat and siyam and things like this. The shaykh is saying, it's not just al-amal al-salihah, that the righteous deeds that you think of as acts of worship, but rather righteous deeds are also other actions that you do in your interaction with the people that are not considered to be pure acts of worship. So, the shaykh, he says, إِذَا كَانُوا يَدْعُونَ النَّاسِ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فَهُمْ بِفِعْلِهِ أَوْلَى. So if the Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah call the people to these good qualities, good deeds, and good characteristics, then their complying, acting, doing these deeds is yani more right. Yani it's more of an obligation if they are calling people to doing it, that they are doing it themselves. And this is, and here the Shaykh is reminding us that if we call people to good, we should not forget about doing it ourselves. After this, يعني the next statement, the eighth statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, وَيَعْتَقِدُونَ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِمَانًا أَحْسَنُهُمْ خُلُقًا. يعني يَعْتَقِدُونَ, they believe, meaning يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. And as Shaykh Saleh Fawzan said, يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَعْمَلُونَ بِهِ. يعني they believe in it and they also act upon it. They act upon what is required from the meaning of this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the most complete and perfect of the believers in reference to their iman are the best of them in reference to their character. Yani akmal mu'minina imanan, the most complete and perfect of the believers in iman. Iman here is tamyiz, meaning they are most complete and perfect of the believers in what? In iman. Those who are most complete and perfect in iman are those who have the best character. Keeping in mind that character here is the character with Allah and the character with the human beings. But those who are yani the most perfect in their iman are those who are best in character. That means that yani the most perfect of the believers in iman is not just the person that has good aqidah, but also the person who has good character and good manners and good deeds. This hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad and al-Tirmidhi, who said that it's Hasan Sahih. And Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, yani the best of them in character means those who are most yani gentle and easy and most beautiful in their character. And this hadith, Sheikh Saleh Fawzan says, yani this hadith contains a number of points. From amongst them is this hadith is an encouragement for people to take on the noble and good characteristics. It's an encouragement. Because why? If a person wants to be the most complete and perfect of the believers in iman, then they have to take on good character. The second thing, this hadith is also an indication that al-a'mal tadkhulu fi musamma al-iman, that actions and deeds are part of what is called iman. And it's not just conviction in the heart. Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah believe that iman is not only conviction in the heart, but his speech on the tongue, his actions by the limbs of the body, that it increase and decrease, and that there are levels of excellence and superiority of some of the believers over others. So here the Shaykh is saying, this hadith is one of the proofs of what? That actions are also included in what is called iman. And the third point he said, وَأَنَّ الْإِمَانِ يَتَّفَاضَلْ يعني, that iman has levels, that some people are superior over others in terms of iman. Every iman is not equal, it's not just one level, all the people who have iman are the same. Rather, there's superiority and yani excellence of some over others. So Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, this hadith, يَنْبَغِي أَيَكُونَ دَائِمًا نَصْبَ عَيْنَي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that it is incumbent that this hadith always be yani in the forefront, in front of our eyes, meaning in the forefront of our mind, that we reflect upon it and look at it and consider it and try to live by it all the time. This is a hadith that we should be constantly looking at, reflecting over, and trying to implement in our lives. Because indeed the most perfect of the believers in iman is the best of them in character, مَعَ اللَّهُ وَمَعْ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ, yani the best of them in character, their character with Allah, and in their character with the servants of Allah. Yani character according to the people of Sunnah includes your relationship with Allah, your character with Allah, and your character with the human beings. Often when we think about character, a person who has good character, we're thinking about in their relation with the human beings, but rather character in Islam includes your relationship with Allah and your relationship with the human beings. And the Shaykh explains each of them what they entail in brief. He said, as far as husnul khuluq ma'allah, having good character with Allah, it means that you receive His awamir, His commands, بالقبول والإذعان والإنشراح وعدم الملل والضجر. يعني having good character with Allah means that you receive His commands, yani His ahkam, His rulings, commands, prohibitions, whatever, that you receive them with acceptance and submission and willingness. Yani that your heart is open to it, that you accept what Allah has commanded us or prohibited us from, and we submit to it. And also that we accept His ahkam al-qawniyya bis-sabr wa-rida wa ma ashbah dhalik. And here the Shaykh is saying what? That in the first part of this, yani husnul khuluq with Allah, it is accepting, receiving, submitting to al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legal rulings that Allah has legislated, and al-ahkam al-qawniyya, yani the things that Allah has declared or decreed or commanded to occur in the universe. That what? That we accept it with qubul, yani our heart is open to it, our chest is expanded for it, and we are in submission and compliance. We don't become bored with what Allah has legislated, nor do we become agitated with it. As far as the things that He decreed to happen in the universe, then we receive them with patience and being pleased with it, and what is similar to that, yani as the Shaykh mentioned, yani as-sabr wa-rida wa-shukr, thankfulness and gratitude. أَمَّا حُسْنُ الْخُلُقِ مَا الْخَلْقِ, as far as good character with the created beings, فَقِيلَ, yani the Shaykh said, it has been said, meaning that there are many ways that the scholars have explained what is good character with the human beings. They have explained it in different ways, yani different wordings, different expressions, different aspects that they have yani focused upon. But in any case, the Shaykh, he gives one of those definitions. He said, قِيلَ هُوَ بَذَلْ النَّدَى وَكَفَ الْأَذَى وَتَلَاقَةُ الْوَجْهِ, yani that good character with the people, yani these are general categories that include many things. He said it is what? That a person expends or extends themselves in helping others, in yani generosity and charity, and that they refrain from causing harm to others, and that they meet the people with a cheerful, pleasant face. So here we have what? That on the one side, yani having good character with the people means yani helping the people, and on the other side not harming the people, and on the other side meeting the people with a cheerful face. The Shaykh says the details of this, he said, as far as helping the people, it is al-qaram, yani generosity, but generosity is not specifically limited to wealth, rather it includes al-mal, yani being generous with your wealth, al-jah, being generous with your يعني your position, your station or status in the society. يعني meaning the influence that you have. You can help people with the influence because of your status, because of your station. Maybe you don't even have wealth, but you have good standing amongst the people, and because of your position in the society, you are able to speak up for somebody, recommend somebody, or يعني ask for help for people. So this is also what is included in يعني offering help, extending yourself and helping people. And also he said that it also includes your nafs. يعني meaning that you help the people by your wealth, you help the people through your status or your position, and you help the people yourself physically. You get out there and help people. يعني physically help people. And all of this, he said, is included in يعني the first part of what is it, what he mentioned here as يعني good character with the people. The second thing he said, talaqat al-wajh, it is the opposite of al-ubus. يعني it's the opposite of what? A person meeting the people with a frown. A frown. يعني meet the people with a pleasant, cheerful, smiling face. وَكَذَلِكَ كَفَ الْأَذَى, withholding harm from the people, it means that you don't harm anyone, not with your speech nor with your actions. And this is a reminder to us that even if we don't harm people physically, sometimes the greater harm is what we say about other people, and we must يعني restrain our tongues. Here, I just want to mention quickly يعني a note from the Tafsir of Ibn Kathir, Surah Al-Qalam, 68th Surah, يعني the beginning of the Surah, I think it's 3rd or 4th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. يعني in reference to character, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, indeed, certainly, you are definitely عَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. يعني you are upon a high station or status, a tremendous, magnificent type of خلق. And Ibn Abbas said, إِنَّكَ يعني على خلق عظيم, it means إِنَّكَ لَعَلَى دِينٍ عَظِيمٍ وَهُوَ الْإِسْلَامِ. يعني خلق عظيم, it means a tremendous, magnificent deen, and that is Al-Islam. And then Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, mentions a number of narrations. From amongst them, he mentions the narration of Qatada. He mentions that Sayyid ibn Hisham asks Aisha radiallahu anhu about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she said, أَلَسْتَ تَقْرَى الْقُرْآنِ, do you not read the Qur'an? He said, indeed. She said, فَإِنَّ خُلُقِي خُلُقَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ كَالْقُرْآنِ. يعني she said that indeed the character of the Messenger of Allah, it was like the Qur'an. كَالْقُرْآنِ, it was like the Qur'an. And it's also narrated from Imam Ahmed, from Hassan, that he asked Aisha radiallahu anha about the character of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, that his character was the Qur'an. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir, yani the leader of all scholars of Tafsir, al-Imam al-Tabari, rahimahullah, he narrates from Sayyid ibn Hisham that I came to the Aisha, the mother of the believers, radiallahu anha, and I said to her, inform me about the character of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ كَالْقُرْآنِ, that his character was like the Qur'an. Did you not read, يعني she said, did you not read the saying of Allah, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that indeed you are on a magnificent level or stage of character. This is reported by Al-Imam Al-Tabari and also by Abu Dawud, Nasai and others. And finally Ibn Kathir mentions here, and this is really the point, يعني he says that, what is the meaning of this? يعني كَانَ خُلُقُهُ كَالْقُرْآنِ, what is the meaning of يعني his character was like the Qur'an? The meaning of this is that he, عليه الصلاة والسلام, and Ibn Kathir says, صار امتثال القرآن سجية له وخلقا. يعني that complying with what came in the Qur'an became his natural disposition. يعني he gave up his يعني inclination to whatever human beings are inclined to. And يعني compliance with the Qur'an became his natural disposition. So whatever, فَمَهْمَا أَمَرَهُ الْقُرْآنِ فَعَلَهُ, whatever the Qur'an commanded with, he did it. وَمَهْمَا نَهَاهُ عَنْهُ تَرَكَهُ. Whatever it prohibited him from, he left it. وَهَذَا مَعْمَا جَبَلَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْخُلُقَ الْعَظِيمِ. And this is along with the characteristics or the qualities, the great characteristic qualities that Allah had already placed in him naturally. This is in addition to that. Yani, in addition to what? Al-haya, that he was already modest. Al-qaram, he was generous. Shaja'a, he was brave. Al-suf wal-hilm. Wa kullu khuluq al-azim. Yani, jameel. He said that, yani, he was one who used to pardon and, yani, be clement or patient or tolerant of others, and all of the other good characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had, yani, placed within him before the Quran was revealed to him. Yani, in addition to those qualities and characteristics, whatever the Quran commanded him with, he complied with it, and whatever the Quran prohibited him from, he left it. And I'll just mention here, in brief, summarize, yani, Shaykh Rabi' al-Madkhali, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect him, and grant him, and improve his health. Yani, he was asked a question about, yani, a person using the expression that, yani, someone is a Quran yamshi ala al-ard. This is an expression that the Arabs use, and even in America, we used to hear it a lot. That huwa, in fact, we had a debate in the masjid with an Egyptian graduate of Azhar one day who came with Jamaat al-Tabligh, and he said that in his presentation to the people, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana Quran yamshi ala al-ard. When his discussion was finished, I waited until the people had dispersed, and I pulled them to the side, and I asked him, is this a hadith, or is this just an expression that you use? He says, hadith. I said, can you find the hadith for me and show it to me? He said, I can find it. I said, okay, I'll be back for the next prayer. I'll be looking for it. When I came back, in brief, he couldn't find it. He said, it's a hadith, it's well known. I said, it's not a hadith. Rather, a hadith of Aisha is, kana khuluqul Qur'an, or kana khuluhu. Kulukuhu kal Quran. He said, that's what I meant. I said, you said it was a hadith. The point is what? That this is an expression that is on the tongues of some of the people, even some of the people of knowledge, are using this expression, kana, yani, Quran yamshi ala al-ard. Yani, a walking Quran. Quran walking on the earth. The Quran is not created. The Quran is the kalamullah ghayr makluk. This is what the Ahl al-Sunnah believe. Quran is the speech of Allah. It's not created. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a created being. The Prophet is a created being. The Quran is not going to be walking on the earth. The Quran is not created. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created. If they mean by this that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam implemented the Quran, that yani his characteristics and qualities were manifestation of the Quran, fine. But the expression that is better to be used so that there's no misunderstanding is what Aisha radiallahu anha said, kana khuluquhu كالقرآن وكان خلقه القرآن والله أعلم. After this, trying to look at the time. نعم. The Shaykh, he says, this is the ninth statement. نعم. The eighth statement was يَعْتَقِدُونَ مَعْنَ قَوْلِهِ نَعْمْ, that they believe in the statement, in the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the most perfect and completed believers in iman are those who have best character. And the ninth statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, يَنْدُبُونَ إِلَى أَنْ تَصِلَ مَنْ قَطَعَكَ وَتُعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ وَتَعْفُوَ عَنْ مَنْ ظَلَمَكَ. Yani, that they encourage the people to yani, keep ties with those who cut them off. And that they give, yani, charity or gifts to those who forbid that from them, who don't give them. Yani, they give to those who don't give them. And they pardon those who have wronged them. And they pardon those who have wronged them. Yani, meaning here that from the characteristics of Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah is that they encourage themselves and others to be good to those who have not been good to you. To keep ties with those who cut off ties from you. The Shaykh said, يَنْدُبُونَ, it means يَدْعُونَ, that they call to these qualities and characteristics. Yani, that they keep ties. They join ties with those who cut them off. He said, مِنَ الْأَقَارِبِ, yani from their relatives. Yani, meaning your blood relatives. that if they cut you off, you should try to connect the ties with them. Those who have an obligation that you keep ties with them. That even if they cut ties with you, that you keep the ties with them. If they cut you off, you connect yourself to them. You don't say, whoever keeps ties with me, I will keep ties with them. For indeed, this is not what is meant by yani keeping ties with your blood relatives. And this is what is understood from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the hadith in which he said, "Laysa al-wasil bil mukafi." Yani the one who keeps ties, yani this is a noble characteristic of the people of Islam, keeping ties. Yani the one who keeps ties, this is not the one who merely reciprocates. Yani you keep ties with me, I keep ties with you. That's not what is meant here. But what is meant by keeping ties is the one who your relatives cut off ties with you, but you insist on keeping ties with them. This is what is meant by keeping ties. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who keeps ties is not the one who merely reciprocates, but rather the one who keeps ties is the one who, when the ties, the blood relations are cut off, then they connect them. Yani that when the ties of blood relations are cut off by others, they connect them. And the Prophet ﷺ was asked by a man who said, "O Messenger of Allah, indeed I have relatives. I keep ties with them and they cut me off. I do good to them, they do evil to me. I am patient and kind to them and they act ignorantly towards me." The Prophet ﷺ said, "If indeed you are as you claim to be," yani if it is as you said, yani the way you said it, if it's really like that, it is as though you are putting yani sand or hot sand into the mouths of those people. It is as though you are putting yani hot burning sands into their mouth. Meaning that, yani, it is as though, yani, when you treat them good, they treat you bad. When they cut you off, you keep ties with them. Yani, it is as though, yani, you are filling their mouths with hot sand. You are punishing them with, yani, this good behavior towards them. And this is a due punishment for their behavior towards you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wala yazalu ma'aka min Allahi zahirun alayhim." And they will remain, they will continue to be with you, a helper or a supporter over them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma dumta ala dhalik, as long as you remain treating them like that. Yani as long as you remain treating them like that, Allah will continue to provide you with a helper or a supporter over them as long as you remain in that condition. Surah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Surah Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Encourage keeping ties with those who cut you off. And more so, yani keeping ties with those who keep ties with you. Because the one who, yani keeps ties with you and they are relative, then this person has two rights over you. The right of qaraba, yani that they are a near relative, and the right of al-mukafa'ah, yani that you at least have to reciprocate. And this is based on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man sana'a ilaykum ma'rufan fakafi'uhu," yani whoever does good towards you, then return good to them. And then the Shaykh said, وَطُعْطِيَ مَنْ حَرَمَكَ, and give to those who have held back from you, yani who have prohibited you. وَتَعْفُوَ أَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكَ, and pardon those who have done dhulm to you, done wrong to you. As far as giving those who have prohibited you, he said, حَرَمَكَ, the meaning, مَنْ مَنَعَكَ, who held back from giving you. So don't say, they have held back from me, so I will not give to him. He has held back from me, so I won't give him. But rather, yani we give, even to those who don't give us. Sheikh Saleh Fawzan said, yani it means extending yourself in giving, whether it is charity or gifts or whatever is like that. To the one who has held back these things from you, you will give it to them. And this is because doing so is from al-ihsan. It's from the level of ihsan. The Sheikh says, and pardon those who, yani, did wrong to you. Meaning, those who have, yani, deprived you of some of your rights. Either by al-udwan, by transgressing the limits against you, or either by adam qiyam bil-wajib, or by failing to fulfill an obligation that you are entitled to, yani, that a right that you have over them. Yani, in other words, the dhulm is either they have transgressed against you, done something, some harm to you, or they have failed to fulfill an obligation towards you that is upon them. And he pardoning those who transgress against you. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, this is done because this is one of the ways to attract love between the people, and it is also a way to earn the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, al-dhulm yaduru ala amrain. Yani dhulm, it yani revolves around two affairs. I'tida wa juhud. Yani either a person who transgressed against you or a person who denies you your right. Yani either they have transgressed against you by beating you, yani physically harming you, or taking your wealth, or violating your honor. That's on one side, yani i'tida, and on the other side of juhud, he said that they deny your right, and therefore they withhold it from you. They deny a right that you have, and therefore they withhold your rights from you. And the perfection of the human being is in that they pardon those who have wronged them. Yani from the perfection, kamal al-insan, is pardoning those who have wronged you. We talked about this topic in detail when we were reading from another book of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, and we talked about this in detail, pardoning those who wrong you, and this is indeed, yani perhaps, difficult, but it is easy for whoever Allah makes it easy for. If a person asks Allah to help them to pardon, if a person gets up in the night and prays to Allah and asks Him to pardon somebody who's wronged them, inshallah Allah will rectify their heart and make it easy for them. He said that from the perfection of the human being is that they pardon those who have wronged them. وَلَكِنْ الْعَفُوا إِنَّمَا يَكُونُ عِنْدَ الْقُدْرَةِ عَلَى الْإِنْتِقَامِ But real pardoning is only when a person has the ability to take revenge. Yani pardoning somebody who you can't really punish them is not pardoning. Pardon means when a person has the ability to punish those who have wronged them, and then they don't punish them. Is it clear or not clear? Now, because some people think that they are doing something yani noble in pardoning those who they don't have the ability to punish due to weakness. But real pardoning, the nobility of pardoning, is when a person has the ability to punish and they forego punishing that person who has wronged them. Yani, so you pardon the people when you have the ability to punish them. And this is for two reasons. The first reason, he says, that a person has hope for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His mercy. A person pardons, hoping for the forgiveness of Allah and His mercy. And then he says, فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَفَى وَعَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ And this is a quote, yani from the Quran, saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 2, Taghabun, 64th Surah, 14th Ayah. Yani in a series of ayats where Allah says, and whoever pardons and then reconciles, من عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله, then his reward is incumbent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first reason why a person may pardon, and that is hoping for the mercy of the forgiveness of Allah and the mercy of Allah. And this, I'm sorry, I said Surah Taghabun. It's not Surah Taghabun. Actually, this ayah came in, huh?
Surah
Shura. Surah Shura, naam. I'm sorry, Surah Shura. Came in Surah Shura, naam. That's right. Surah Shura, which is 42, naam. The 42nd surah, and the ayat is, I think, 43 or 44, somewhere around there, naam. The ayah that I was thinking about in Surah At-Taghabun 14th is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahdharuhum. Wa in ta'afu wa tasfahu wa taghfiru fa inna Allah ghafur rahim. This is the ayah I'm thinking about where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed, O you who believe, indeed from your wives and your children are enemies for you. But if you pardon and overlook and forgive, then indeed Allah is forgiving, merciful. Fa in ta'afu, يعني وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا يعني if you pardon and if you overlook and if you forgive, then know that Allah is forgiving, merciful. Meaning that if you want to earn the forgiveness of Allah, then you have to be forgiven of the people. If you want Allah to pardon you, then you have to pardon the people. So the Shaykh, he says here that the first reason for pardoning others is hoping for the forgiveness of Allah. and hoping for the mercy of Allah. For indeed, whoever pardons and aslaha, then indeed his reward is guaranteed by Allah. Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, in his tafsir of this ayat, he says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the reward of the person who pardons a reward guaranteed by Allah. He has made this an encouragement to pardon. So that if the worshipper, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, treats that يُعَامِلَ الْعَبْدِ بِمَا يُحِبُّ أَنْ يُعَامِلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, yani that a person should treat the people the way you want Allah to treat you. So just as you would love that Allah pardon you, then you must pardon the people. And just as you love that Allah would overlook and forgive you, then you must overlook the mistakes and the errors and the wrong of the people and forgive them. For إِنَّ الْجَزَاءَ مِنْ جِنْسِ الْعَمَلِ, for indeed the reward for one's deeds will be of the same type as the deed itself. Yani whoever pardons, then they will be pardoned. And whoever forgives, then they will be forgiven. And the second reason is لِإِصْلَاح الْوَدْ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ صَاحِبَكَ. Yani the second reason for pardoning is in order to rectify and to reconcile and to restore the love, yani and brotherhood and friendship and relations between you and whoever it was from amongst those who are near to you that has wronged you. And this is because if you meet evil with evil, then the ill will between you, or the ill actions between you, will continue. But if you meet evil with ihsan, with goodness, then ihsan will return to you. And that person, yani, will be shy from continuing to do evil to you. And this is understood from the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 34th Ayat, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ اِدْفَى بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Yani, and the good and the evil are not equal, but repulse evil with that which is good or better than it. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And then if you do that, if you repulse evil, yani return evil with good, then the one between you and him there was enmity and hatred, that person will become as though they are a supporting, close, beloved friend. Meaning, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging us here to, instead of returning evil with evil, that we return evil with good. And this is what will rectify the relations between the people and return the love and the brotherhood and the friendship. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayahs following this, that this is difficult except for those who have been given patience. And in a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, an authentic hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said, مَا نَقَصَتْ صَدَقَةٌ مِّن مَالٍ, yani that charity is not decreased, or charity does not decrease one's wealth. Yani if a person gives charity, their wealth will not decrease. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا بِعَفْوٍ إِلَّا عِزًّا. And this is the point that we want to refer to here. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't increase a person who pardons others except in honor. Yani the person who pardons other, Allah increases them in honor. وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ. And no one humbles their self. No one humbles their self for the sake of Allah, except that Allah raises them up. So this hadith is an encouragement for what? Yani for pardoning, that whoever pardons, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases them in honor. And the shaykh, he says, that pardoning the people, and this is the end of what he said here, pardoning the people, while a person has the ability to punish or to take revenge, is from the characteristics of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Naam. Yani the people of Sunnah, this is from their noble characteristics that they pardon others. Lakin bishart an yakun al-afu islahan. But this has a condition. And that condition is that in the pardoning, there will be rectification, reconciliation, reformation, improvement of relations. Yani that the condition, pardoning people should be with a condition that is going to bring about a better situation. It's going to bring about a better situation. And this is because if pardoning the people contains within it evil or harm, then it is not encouraged to pardon in that situation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made as a condition, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ, in Surah Ash-Shura, 40th ayat, so whoever pardons and reconciles, yani, improves the situation, yani reconciles, reforms, yani rectifies their heart and rectifies the relation with the one who has wronged them, improving the relationship, returning the love and brotherhood and relations. Whoever pardons with this, then the reward is guaranteed with Allah. Means that pardoning should include islah, yani rectification or reformation of the relations. As far as the one whose pardon contains ill or evil, or it is the cause of ill or evil, for here, in this case, we say, do not pardon, do not pardon. And this is because, yani, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever pardons and reconciles, is an indication, that in it is an indication that the one who, yani, wrongs, who transgress against other people, and it is not befitting to pardon them, meaning it would not bring about good, it will not bring about some benefit according to the Sharia, then, yani, it is required that that person be punished, that they be punished. In this case, we are not, yani, commanded to pardon them. The Shaykh said an example of this is that you pardon a criminal, and pardoning this person is the cause for them to continue in their crimes. So not pardoning that person is better. Rather, in some cases, yani, not pardoning them, is wajib. In some cases, it may be wajib not to pardon them. And this is the end of what we can cover tonight. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.